Well, hello, sons, and hello, brothers. I'm Kyle, and I'm here with my brothers Chuck, Dan, and Wes. And guys, this week I want to ask you a couple of questions, or a question, each of you. And Chuck, for you, how do you take your coffee, and what brand are you drinking right now?
That's a very long question. The simple answer is I drink the cheapest coffee that I can find at the grocery store, and I put two teaspoons of sugar and a little bit of cream, but I can drink it anyway.
That sounds wonderful. Are you drinking coffee right now?
Yeah, I've got caramel cream. It's $4 at the $4 for 12 ounces at the D&W across the street from me. And that stuff is really good.
There we go. Make a mean pour over.
I just use the Mr. Coffee. I'm religious about this. Mr. Coffee is the best coffee maker there is.
Oh yeah, just the basic one. The slow
drip. Yeah, you can get it for $20 at Walmart. Like, I've bought so many coffee makers. They're all in the landfill. My Mr. Coffee, man, he keeps chugging on.
So what I hear you saying is you do not do your coffee through a Chemex.
I have one that I'm about to throw in the landfill. I don't ever use it. It sits in my office and gathers dust.
Oh, there you go. Mr. Coffee for the win.
$24 at Target.
Good to know. Dan, what about you, man? What are three essentials you must have on your person every day? EDC.
So it's number one is a card wallet from Ugly Gull. Shameless plug.
Yes.
Camo, orange, kind of like it. Can somebody remind me not to talk like Bubbles? number two would be a little inspection flashlight. Like, it's like a pain flashlight. I carry one that Wesley gave me. Wesley, what is it? It's that Olight.
Yeah, I think that was a Streamlight wedge that I gave you.
Streamlight wedge, yeah, that thing is gnarly. I use it more than anything else. And then I'm carrying Dad's knife. That what is that? The butterfly, Wesley? Wesley knows all about the trinkets.
Yeah, you got a Benchmade. I think that is the bug out, one of those.
Yeah,
let's
go.
It is a bug out. So, yeah, the wallet from Ugly Gull. Streamlight wedge and the Benchmade, not a butterfly.
Oh man. Mm-hmm. Awesome. I knew you'd have the answer to that question.
Well, if I'm not at work, I'm carrying the Glock 48 Slim.
All right, there we go. That's what I'm talking about right there, dude.
That's all three of them, huh?
if things go south, you want to be near Daniel Pierpont.
Yeah.
How's Texas this morning, brother?
Oh, it's good. It is. It's nice weather down here this morning. The old Garmin saying 63, so it should be a warm day.
Let's go.
63, man.
All right. So, Wes, what is something that you have to have on you to do your job every day?
Oh boy. Common sense. No, I'm just kidding.
Wesley's like a sprinter van.
With the latest Milwaukee tools.
Yeah, well, actually, that's where I'm going, is a Milwaukee Fastback, which is a razor knife that has a slotted and a Phillips screwdriver on it. And then if you take the slotted and the Phillips tip out of there, you got yourself a little nut driver. And that saved my apprentice probably 300 trips back to the truck. He makes sure I have that on me.
All right.
That's it, though.
There we go.
I'm going to start calling my children apprentices.
Hey, they get paid good now.
Gophers.
Yeah, that's the truth.
go for this, go for that.
Hey, Wes, what about Knipex? Do you still carry Knipex or whatever they call it?
Oh, yeah, always. It's German, so you pronounce the K. They're Knipex pliers.
Mm. Yeah.
If you ever need to turn a wrench, just skip Harbor Freight and buy some Knipex. And you won't be sorry.
I'm not driving. Yeah.
Kyle, let me ask you a question.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
What are you watching these days? Like, do you watch anything on TV or like YouTube streamers or anything like that?
My son Leland, the youngest one, and I started watching Band of Brothers, that's an awesome show, just a great show. Again, you know, all of these shows have a little something in there that I would not recommend, but for the most part, Band of Brothers was a great show. And it was cool to, you know, watch that together and talk about World War II and history and the Greatest Generation. And we went straight from that one into the new series that is now on Apple TV, produced by the same people, Steven Spielberg and the crew, called Masters of the Air. It's about the 100th Airborne Division. And it was pretty awesome as well. So, and it's time for Stuff I Want to Say, mostly to men, where we share teachings and encouragements and exhortations to men from our dad, Ken Pierpont. Man, it was his heart to help men, to inform them, to inspire them and motivate them to have a real and vital walk with God. And he did that for us, didn't he, guys?
Oh, yeah, he did.
He passed that down to us, his sons. And so we've decided to carry on his vision for this podcast as his sons. In this podcast, we take one of our dad's writings, our stories, and we read it. We remember him. And then we share our own memories and our stories and experiences on that topic. And we hope it's an encouragement to you. And so today, guys, it's Easter weekend here in our part of the world, all over the world. And Easter was a big deal to Dad, wasn't it? He loved Easter weekend. And he always made a big deal out of Easter. And he made a big deal out of the weekend and a big deal out of Sundays and going to church and the Sabbath. And so, Chuck, you printed this in your bulletin for your church this weekend, and you shared it with us, and it kind of got us thinking about Easter and thinking about Dad. And so we've got a humorous, short little story here from our dad, Ken Pierpont. And can I read it this weekend, guys?
Yes, sir.
All right. This is Easter Eggs by Ken Pierpont. Some things are impossible to forget. I learned one such lesson 20 years ago, and it is seared indelibly into my memory. It was on an Easter Sunday afternoon. I was hurriedly preparing to return to preach in the Sunday evening service. I wanted something to eat, something with a bit of protein, and noticed there were some hard-boiled eggs on the counter left over from the morning Easter festivities. I peeled two or three of the eggs, put a bit of salt on them, then I got to thinking they might be tastier if I warmed them up in the microwave. I popped them in a bowl and warmed them up for a few seconds in the microwave. I pulled the eggs out of the microwave, and they looked great, and that's when things got really memorable. I put a little extra dash of salt on one of them and bit into it. That's when it exploded in my mouth, burning my tongue and creating an unforgettable Easter memory. So, just this. Jesus is alive. Boil eggs. Color eggs. Hide eggs. Decorate eggs. Eat hard-boiled eggs. Just don't warm them up in a microwave and bite into them. That will create a memory you won't be able to forget, even if you want to. Happy Easter, Ken. Oh, man.
Okay, so my thought on this this week was this brings to mind Easter, and so we want to draw your mind to Easter. And one of the things that I deal with as a pastor is I'm in a very small church in Williamson, Michigan. And if I had people consistently show up, men show up with their families consistently that I contact, I wouldn't have a small church. I don't mind having a small church. Like I have changed my mind from being worried about who attends to worrying about shepherding the people who have attended or who are under my watch, whatever. I tell the Lord the attendance is his problem, not mine. But if I had everybody show up that I had contacted, then I would have a nice full church every Sunday. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it goes back to men. And so there's this discussion, Easter, you're going to have a lot of guys come out of the woodwork and like show up for Easter and then disappear back into the woods until Christmas mm-hmm. time. Mm-hmm. And to me, like, okay, I get it. I want to go to the woods. I want to canoe. I want to climb mountains. I want to ride my bike. All of these things, I get it. And the problem right. is when that happens is our children grow up then and they say, well, church isn't important. Going into the woods is, because our children reflect dad. Like guys will say, I want my boys to grow up to be godly men. I want my boys to grow up to be like your dad. I want my boys this or that. And then you couldn't raise them on a Sunday morning if you wanted to, but then you see them ice fishing at 3 a.m. in Minnesota and they drove there in the morning. So it's just like, okay. So it's just not important.
Dad made Sunday is important. You guys remember Saturday nights? What were Saturday nights like in your mind?
Quiet.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're right. The tone of the weekend started on Saturday evening, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I remember Dad making, like, there were a few things, and we talk about rhythms, you know. Rhythm, the rhythm of Dad's life was, you remember him encouraging us, like, lay out all of your clothes for church, every item.
Yeah.
And, you know, going around to each room, making sure we had a shirt that was nice, you know, our pants that were nice and clean, and socks and shoes and underwear and, you know, all the things ready to go on Saturday evening so that we would be ready to get up on Sunday and get dressed and go.
Yeah.
What are your memories about that, guys?
There's so many. I feel like probably 50% of my memories are Sundays with Dad. It's like a few things. I mean, he, for one, like the importance of Sundays, he came down here to visit me a while back, and I woke up on Sunday because I told him, that's one of the first things he asked on Saturday. He said, well, where are we going to church tomorrow? Because it wasn't like, are we going to go to church tomorrow? Like, he was going to church with or without you. the next morning he woke up, and I didn't even know it. This was before anybody was up. And he comes back home, because then we're getting ready to go to church at where we go to church in Hope Fellowship. And he comes back in, and I was like, where were you? And he was like, oh, I wanted to go visit Chuck Swindoll's church in Frisco. So I called that two-a-day because he woke up at Chuck Swindoll's church. And then he came back and then went to church with us. And then the rest of the day, he spent the rest of the day talking about it, like what he liked about it and just how good of a time he had. He wouldn't stop talking about how cool he thought it was that my church gives you sweet tea when you walk in the door. But the funniest part to me about that story was later that day, I went to our bathroom and I noticed we had done laundry and there was no towels in the bathroom. So then I got to thinking, and I walked back out and I was like, Dad, what did you dry off with this morning? He said, I was running out of time, so I had to use a washcloth.
That's awesome. That would be Dad.
It's like so many, there's so many excuses like that people can make, but like Dad was not making any excuses. Like he was going to be in church no matter what he had to do.
Yeah. It was almost like when I go on vacation, I always tell people, you know, I just want a break from my work, but that's not how Dad saw it. He saw it as this is a, like a holy pilgrimage. And he would often say that about going to camps or whatever. He made camp super important because it was like a holy pilgrimage. He made Sabbath rest important. Kyle, what about the, remember when you wanted to play baseball?
Oh, yeah, man.
And you got picked for the All-Star team?
Huge story in my life. Yeah. I remember, you know how you have like memories of being in a certain place at a certain time that really just take you back to that moment. That's one of them for me. I remember we lived in this house way out in the middle of nowhere in the country. It was incredible on Rutledge Road in Ohio. And baseball was a huge deal, you know, just because for one, we were all homeschooled. And so, you know, it was the time of the year where you actually interacted with other people. So
Yeah.
you had the boys on the baseball team and your coach, and it was fun. And so we played in this, you know, league there in Ohio. And at the end of the season, toward the end of the season, I was picked for the All-Star team. And it was a big deal to me, you know, and a big deal to the family, and pretty cool. And but one of the details was that in order to play on the All-Star team, you had to be able to play on Sundays because they played on Sundays. And not all of the games, but a few of the games would fall on a Sunday. Well, you know, that was a big deal and something that Dad I know used to help me through my own beliefs and theology around, you know, are Sundays important? Or why are Sundays important? And so, you know, it was obviously to him, it was not an option. It was like, we don't do that. But I could tell he wanted me to get there in my mind and in my heart. And so I remember those evenings kind of just thinking about that, you know, and talking about it. And he would show me from scripture why it was important to honor the Sabbath day and to remember it, keep it holy. And so I agreed that I would turn down that opportunity and say, "Hey, I wish I could, you know, thank you. I'm honored that you asked. But I can't play because of the fact that I'd have to play on a couple of Sundays." And so I remember calling up the All-Star coach and telling him that. And I remember that guy saying, "Well, we really want you on the team and we'd love to have you play. And so, you know, if we make an exception and say, hey, you can take those Sundays off, would you want to play?" And it was a big answer to prayer because it was something I really wanted to do and I was really bummed about missing out on. But it was like the Lord honored that, you know, for me. And that was a big point in my life as a kid to go, the Lord will work things out for you if you keep Him first, you know, and if you keep Him preeminent, to use a big word, in my mind, in my heart. And yeah, I remember that big time. And so we ended up, you know, I ended up being on the All-Star team, having a great time and have a lot of memories from that, but not playing on Sundays.
Yeah. Hey, Daniel, do you remember playing wiffle ball in the yard in Chicago when we lived there? Because that was back when I started working at Hobby Lobby, and then I started working for Habercorn. Well, that was like the first time I had extra money. So I would always take you guys out on Sunday afternoons and go shopping. And I remember Dad coming to me and saying, "Buddy," he goes, "you know, you got 6 days where you can take your brothers out and you guys can go shopping in the evenings." He said, "But what I'd really like you to do is do something restful in the yard, go fishing, take a walk." He goes, "You don't need to be out, you know, consuming and retail shopping." He goes, "It's not a rule, but," he goes, "I don't want every Sunday to be spent at the mall." And I
That's so
remember just
true.
thinking, you know what? Like, that's weird. Because, you know, I hadn't really thought deeply about any of this stuff at that time. And obviously, it was more about like finding girls and clothes and stuff. But I just remember thinking, this is really important to Dad. And so I did. I started trying on Sundays to like, and you know, Dad wasn't weird about it. It wasn't like we had to sit on the couch and like journal or anything. It was like he said, you know, go in the yard and play baseball, but don't make it a huge thing or whatever. Go, remember that park down by our house? We'd go walk down there. And I just remember thinking, well, you know, if it was just me, I would probably ignore him, but it's my brothers and they're young and impressionable. But I remember Dad sitting with me and saying, you know, and again, it goes back to another thing. There's church attendance. He got us in church. Church was like a thing for him, whereas it was like something you did. It wasn't like something you take a vacation from. It was like, you know, you get up and you breathe. Well, you get up and you go to church too. And then there was also this idea of Sabbath rest, where even after church on Sundays, it was like you came home and the idea was to have a day of rest. And I think in our culture, that's super important. And that's another thing guys should set the tone for in their homes. But Dan, if you want to take a second to like throw me under the bus on wiffle ball, you can feel free.
Yeah, well, I got every time we play wiffle ball, any sport, I'm extremely competitive, even to this day when I'm playing cornhole and I lose, I get some type of anger in me that I don't know if it's a godly anger, if it's sinful, but I get angry and I've never been able to hone that in. But anyhow, what I've been thinking about this is kind of going off of what Kyle was saying. Well, what everybody was saying, but like dad would come down here, like Wes, and he would, first thing he would say, where are we going to church? So yeah. When I was in Victoria, he came down there and did the same thing. I was going to Victoria. I think it was Crossroads Community Church. It was such a good church. I loved it. And dad was super happy about it, super jacked about it. But once we started having kids, like I would make up an excuse for myself to not go, because it was like I hadn't sat through a full church service in 5 years, 6 years, because Waylon would cry. We had Leon. Leon just does not sit still whatsoever. And I'd make it a point, like, I want Caitlin to sit in church and be able to, like, just hear and just rest. So I would take out Leon. And then it got to a point in law enforcement where I was on nights and we wouldn't show up because I would just get home from work at 7. I'd be like, I'm going to take a nap. I'll wake me up. And then, you know, we wouldn't end up going to church. And I would make an excuse, which wasn't an excuse. It was just, like, kind of what I was – where I was at, you know. And I would watch online. But – you know, online's good every once in a while, but as of recently, dad came down here. I go to First Baptist of Seminole, and dad came down here, and he was, you know, Saturday. He was jacked for church. He knew I went to First Baptist Seminole, and of course, I wake up. He's already up, scooting around the house. You guys know exactly what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
He had coffee. He was sitting at the dining room table, just chilling, reading his Bible. And we got in the hot tub later that day. And that was one of the – it was a while ago, almost over a year ago that dad was down here. And we sat in the church service for probably like 5-10 minutes. And Caitlin was working the nursery, and Leon doesn't go to the nursery. He didn't want to at that time. And so I had to get up, take Leon out, and he was running around the parking lot, you know, scratching cars and stuff like that. But dad, I put it on my phone and I was watching it online, and sometimes they pan over the audience and dad was like leaned in with his, you know, his eyes real big, directly at the preacher. And he's a big dude. You could see him from, he stands out in the crowd. Anyhow, he gets home that afternoon. He goes and gets a bunch of Bush's chicken. And these things called corn dodgers, they're delicious. And
amen.
Or corn nuggets or corn dodgers. I think that's like a John Wayne.
Corn dodgers. Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about, though.
And he comes home to me, he's like, that's a great church. Your pastor, I love going there. And he literally did this. He would go all the way across the country. He would never miss a Sunday. He goes, you can go any church in America and you can find somebody preaching the Bible. That's just so encouraging, you know. And he would go off. And he goes, just keep doing what you're doing, Dan. God's going to make it so your boys are comfortable in Sunday school. They're going to make it. Yeah. And ever since then, and when he came down and just prayed about it, he literally prayed with me in the hot tub that night that the boys would enjoy Sunday school. And we've gone since that time. And I've joined the security team. I've been involved, you know. And I feel like dad led my family in that way. And I feel like, yeah, we have some good excuses. And I'm not saying, you know, sometimes our priorities are just misaligned, and sometimes we can get the created over the creator. Because I've made myself excuses, and I've listened to them where I wouldn't go to church because I'm tired. I've worked. I worked up till Saturday night at 3 a.m. And I'm like, I just want a day to sit down and not really. And I'll watch it online. But there's something different about going to a church and being a man that wakes up in the morning and is like helping with the kids, making breakfast, run to McDonald's, bring it back so you don't have to rush about, you know, get them coffee ready for Caitlin and making it kind of like Dad would. He would blare some loud Christian music as loud as he could to wake us all up, you know. And it was just, where's your priority? What I had to ask myself is, where's my priority? First off, it has to be in the man's life. It has to be the man's priority to say, this is how I want my family raised. Mm-hmm. I want the blessing of God in my family. And he says in the Bible to fellowship with other believers. And and you can accept the blessing from God if you are a man about it. I'm not saying you're not a man if you don't go to church. Don't take it that way. But if you're a follower of Jesus, you're gonna go to church with other believers. And it's not perfect at church, don't get me wrong. Yeah, you know. But that's where I feel like Dad really, his last visit here, that happened. And I feel like it really helped me. And it set my family on a path. It set me on a path first where it reprioritized my outlook on church. And it wasn't like a second thought. Oh, it's convenient today. Yeah, we'll get up and get going. Everybody's up. Everybody's in a good mood. Now it's the priority on the weekend is church, not, oh yeah, I'll get ready for some friends coming over later. We're going to watch some football. That's like a secondary thought. Yeah. So anyway, I don't mean to keep going too long about that, but that's exactly
I love that. I knew
what I was going to talk about right when we texted and talked about this. I was like, oh, that's covered. I don't have to think about that too much. Dad really,
he sure did.
He loved being in church. That's all he thought about.
Yeah. You know?
I remember one time Dad pointed out a gentleman, and he said, you know, this guy, his whole family reflects what he made a priority in his life.
Showing rabbits.
And he's, yeah, exactly. The whole family reflected it, and yet it was just a temporary thing. So like, I want my boys to take notice that I'm trying hard to ride my bike, trying hard to be physically fit, trying hard to eat right. I want my kids to reflect that as well. Self-discipline. That's a Christian thing. But what if all my boys are like super physically fit and then neglect the gathering or neglect to rest? There's so much anxiety in our culture. And I think a lot of that is because we've forgotten what it is to rest. I just read a book on Sabbath rest. Jeff Mannion has good thoughts on Sabbath rest. Mm-hmm. His book, Dream Big, Think Small, changed my life. Mm. Absolutely 100% changed my life. Man. Well, you know, those are the things, those are the ultimate things. And Dad would call those things, like, he loved to get out in the woods. He loved to go do stuff with us. But he would, I don't know what he called the other stuff, but he called Christian things ultimate things.
Yeah.
So as a dad, he worked hard to make sure that we noticed the ultimate things that he wanted. Like, he loved Ohio State football, but he texted, "All hail the power of Jesus' name," because it was ultimate. Jesus was ultimate.
Yeah.
And he didn't want us to love Ohio State and miss the fact that he loved Jesus more. So I guess today the idea is this, you know, it's kind of the question I would ask, are you as a man showing your kids that ultimate things are important? And that could be church attendance, holy pilgrimages, like going to camps and retreats. Mm-hmm. Sabbath rest, I think, is a big one. We never rest. Mm-hmm. And so are there holy things in your life that you're making a priority for your family? Or are you taking those holy things and not taking them serious? I have people every week say, you know, I just wish my kids were walking with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I realize when I watch them that those same people walking with the Lord was second
to
anything else. And often that's not always the case, but often people will say, I want my kids to walk with the Lord. And then I'm like, do you truly walk with the Lord and make that priority one? And do your kids see that? And oftentimes when people have their kids walk away from holy things, it's because mom and dad never really took it serious and the kids didn't either. Are you making holy things ultimate things? And do your kids look at you and say, this is important to them, so it'll be important to me? Because we're raising our children, we're training them.
And I think another, you know, important thing to think of too is this is for all men, even if you don't have kids yet, you know, but if that's in your heart that someday you will, it's best to get your, you know, to get your rhythms and your practices set early in life, and not to wait until you have kids, you know, or wait until you're married, but like make this a part of your life now. And that is the foundation that you will build on. And so it will matter to that woman that God brings into your life at some point, and to the kids that God blesses you with at some point in your life. And so this is really for everybody, no matter where you are in life, young or old, to have this idea in your mind that ultimate things are important, and there are secondary things, and there are ultimate things. You know, I love that.
Yeah, real quick, I feel like I need to say something. When I was looking through churches, we moved a lot, and you know, and there I would always find something to not like about a church. But I realized there's like one really important thing to me about churches, and it's childcare. Who's going to be protecting my kids while I'm, you know, in the service? Other than that, I'm really picky on that. And other than that, it's just get involved in a church. Don't worry about how amazing the preacher, or how cool he is, or how good the worship music is. If you just get involved and show up and dedicate your Sunday mornings to that church, it helps out my family more than anything else I do, I believe. So, anyhow.
That's a great point, Dan.
I'm going to say amen there because I'm the pastor of my church, and so don't look for a cool guy.
Well, you're cool, Chuck.
Oh, but
I think that's important.
Come on, Wes, chime in. Yeah, you are
cool. Wes. I'd go to your church if I lived in the same country.
I get it, Mr. Texas. It's the same country. That's good. I mean, I think that's important though, because you can always, you know, churches, what are churches? Churches are people. They are not buildings. They are not, you know, but they are people, gatherings of God's people. And so with that being the case, there's the good and the bad, right? Wherever there's people, we're going to have, you know, idiosyncrasies. We're going to have things we don't maybe fully agree with, we don't like, but you know, that's not the important thing. The important thing isn't go find a church that's exactly everything you want and need. You know, I love what you said, Dan. There are a few things that maybe are like your important thing, which is safety for your kids and a place where they're going to hear the scriptures and Bible stories and people that are going to love them. You know, but other than that, like, just know you're going to go walking into a broken group of people, you know, and some broken things are going to happen.
That's what Dad said. He goes, if you're walking with God, you're going to get something out of every sermon you hear. And he goes, it doesn't matter how entertaining it is, how good his stories are, how captivating the preacher is, or how good the worship music is. You will hear from God. You will be touched from God every time you go to church, no matter where you're at. And I just think it's more about where you are at than where the church is at, you know?
Yeah.
One of the cool things, like I'll say, one of our siblings, none of you guys, but one of our siblings, started attending a church with their family. And, one of the things they experienced was that the preacher was kind of dry, good preaching, solid preaching, but just, you know, kind of dry. And so, but they struggled because it was like, they didn't know where else to go. You know, it was really like the only church in their area that they felt was close to what they were needing as far as the church goes. And so they talked to Dad about it, and they've told me this, you know, and they said that Dad encouraged them just to commit to that church. And even though the preacher was maybe a little bit on the dry side, they said, like, one of the things that Dad told them was start taking notes. and yeah. just write down what he says, because he's saying good stuff, and maybe taking notes will help you engage and connect in that. And they have. And so I've actually seen, you know, their notebook where they've been taking notes, and they said that that's actually really helped them, you know, to go, this guy really is saying some good stuff, and it's helpful, and it will change our hearts, change our lives. And so, you know, I thought that was a cool story of how Dad encouraged them. He didn't say, well, go find a different church where it's more exciting. You know, he was like, no, connect to that church, engage, get involved, start serving somewhere, and engage with the preaching, you know, lean forward, take notes. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Love it.
Jump in real quick on
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
The, yeah, I feel like it's so, I get, and I've done it too, but it's, people are always nitpicking church, and it kind of drives me nuts, because it's,
it irks you.
Yeah. Because if you, if you were as critical about every time you got offended at your job, you would, you wouldn't have a job.
Like, yeah.
You're going to get offended by everything. But, yeah, it's, that's one thing that I've kind of learned too, is like, just go, and if it's like something crazy, obviously don't overlook it, but don't be so like cynical or nitpicky of every little thing. Just yeah, don't go there for the wrong reasons. Go there and just listen and see, and try to, you know, look for, listen what the preacher's saying, study it for yourself, and just kind of chill out a little bit.
I love that, man. I think that's so true. I mean, as pastors, you know, Chuck, you know this, and every week I hear that from people, you know, and it's, I just want to tell them, and often I do, it's like, you know, put those things aside, just commit to being with God's people and worshiping God. It's about God, it's not about us, you know. And when we stop looking at church that way, I think that can be a helpful, you know, helpful piece of just directing our hearts in the right direction, you know, in the right place. So I couldn't agree more, Wes.
Yeah.
I love it.
As a recap, don't eat hard-boiled eggs heated up in the microwave and go to
church. I love it, Dan. There you go. There it is. That's the lesson. That's the moral right there.
Yeah.
Well, guys, have a great Easter. And those of you listening, happy Easter to all of you. I hope you all find your way to a Bible-believing church this week. But not just this week, every week. And make this a part of your rhythm. Make this a part of your life. And I think we have a lot of things to talk about in the future here, Sabbath being one of them, maybe a reason behind why church is something God ordained in our life. Are a couple of topics we can cover here in the near future. But anything else, guys? Any last words?
No. Have a good week.
Yeah. Awesome. Good.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Oh, hold on. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen indeed.
Yes. All right.
Well, thanks for listening to another episode of Stuff I Want to Say, mostly to men, but we know we have some ladies listening in. You're welcome as well. But guys, be encouraged this week. We look forward to talking to you again.